Take your copy of God's Word, turn to the Gospel of Mark. We're still in the Gospel of Mark. From my understanding, spending a lot of time with Ray, obviously, the former senior pastor, Bailey, used to always say the second favorite story that the Apostle Paul would tell was his testimony. That was his second favorite story to tell in Scripture. As I come to this passage tonight, this reminds me a lot of my testimony, the testimony of the leper. April of 98, I cried out to God to heal me, to cleanse me. I was at the height of my wickedness, and God used means to bring me down. To humble me, and I remember crying out a prayer very similar to this leopard. God, if you're willing, you and you alone can save me. But also, just like the leper, there was a command that was given, and I, just like the leper, did not heed it. And so I think we see not only a parallel of the leper's testimony and my own testimony, but I think tonight what we're going to see is a lot of what's going on in the church today. And so tonight I have two points for you, two things I want to bring to your attention. The first I want to talk about tonight is the compassion of Christ. We serve a compassionate Lord and Savior. But secondly, I want to talk about the command of Christ. So the compassion of Christ and the command of Christ. Once again, the Gospel of Mark, verses 40 through 45. Hear the word of our God. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in the deserted places. And they came to him from every direction. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we consider your word, Lord, would my words be yours? And if they are not, would they fall to the ground? Father, pray that you would bless your means of grace, that you would comfort the hurting, that you would uphold the weak, that you would rebuke the proud and haughty. Lord, would you apply the healing balm of Gilead to our soul? Lord, we pray that your word would be faithfully proclaimed. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we talked about last week, in this story of the leper, we see a reflection of the spiritual conditions of our heart. We see that sin is eating away at our souls. We saw last week how the leper was deteriorating, how he was rotting, how his flesh was diseased, disfigured, and how once again these physical infirmities that we see all throughout the New Testament remind us of the spiritual condition of our heart. We realize that we are lame, and therefore we cannot come to Christ. We realize that we are blind, and therefore we cannot see the truth. We realize that we are mute, therefore we can speak nothing good to our God. We realize that we are the leper, and we are spiritually unclean, cast out, cut off from the true and living God. And so as we come once again to this story, this leper in our story has come to Christ. This leper has cast himself at the feet of the one who can make him clean. This leper has waded through, pushed through the crowds, will not be denied, has heard of this Jesus of Nazareth, and has come to him has come to him, breaking all the laws and the traditions that are in place, crying out in the streets, unclean, unclean, but he will not be denied. This leper has seen and heard enough to know that he must come to Christ alone in faith. And beloved, he may not know everything, but of this one thing he appears now to have become convinced, that if anyone can save him, if anyone can improve his condition, if anyone can heal him, this Jesus Christ can. And so he puts aside his doubts. He puts aside his fears. He puts aside all the evidences that would point to the contrary. He puts away the anger of the crowd. He even puts away the extent of his need, and he comes to this Jesus, to this Christ, believing, if you are willing, you can cleanse me. And beloved, when the leper comes and he casts his feet, he casts himself at the feet of Christ, the question is not of ability for this man. He does not question whether Christ has the power to cleanse, to heal. He does not question the validity of the ministry of Jesus Christ. He comes, and the question is one of humble submission. You can, if only you are willing. And beloved, how else can sinners, can those who know to have the leprosy of the soul, those who are afar off, those who are cast out, those who are reprobate, how else can we come to Christ except in this humble submission? And beloved, as we come, as this leper comes, he is focused upon the one alone that is able to deliver him. Notice the earnestness, the begging, the imploring of this leper. He's not trifling with what Christ offers. He's not insulting him with lukewarm desires. He's not coming to him, puffing him up with pride. He's not coming with the Santa Claus mentality. Please give me. I've been a good boy. I deserve this. No, he comes, recognizing that he is a leper, that he is unclean, recognizing the condition of his heart, who he is. And he comes to this Christ, not commanding, not demanding, not trying to hold Christ as a puppet on a string and swaying him by his prayers. No. Beloved, he comes to Christ humbly, directly, knowing that the one great desire above all else is that he would be cleansed. I remember, as we just read in Psalm 25, you can hear the echo. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. The leper knows who he is. The leper comes with a personal interest. He says, Lord, for me, I am the one who is unclean. I am the one who needs healing. You can make me clean. Notice how personal it is. You can make me clean. I am the diseased one. I am the one who is suffering. I am the one who is cast off, cut off. I am this leper. And notice he's not worried about the extent of his sin. He's not worried about the depth of his depravity. He's not even worried about the sum of all his doubts, because he knows that this Jesus is able. He knows that this Jesus can, if he be willing, this Jesus can make him clean. And so none of these things will keep the leper from coming. None of these should keep us, if we are under the conviction that Christ is able. None of these things should keep us from coming to Christ to be saved. Beloved, it must be by Christ and by Christ alone. And so as we enter this passage, we will find that this man's faith, our faith, is rewarded when we come to Christ. And as he comes to Christ, he finds a sufficient Savior indeed. And so first we'll look at the compassion of Christ. Verse 41 says, then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him. Beloved, we see Christ's willingness to save. He is moved with compassion. He says, I am willing. This is an expressive phase. It means that our Savior's stomach was churning. It means that our Savior was stirred to the very depths of his being. This man's condition, this man's humility, this man's need moved our Lord and Savior with compassion. Christ sees him as a person, as a man that is hurting, begging with his face in the dust, crying out, Lord, if you are only willing, you can make me clean. Beloved, our Lord was moved with compassion. We live in a day where we have to wrestle against a false perspective on masculinity that's displayed and modeled before us in all the wicked ways you could imagine. From the Jersey Shore to the Fast and the Furious to the Justin Bieber, all the garbage that's out there. We see a vigorous, robust, biblical masculinity that does not shirk responsibility, that doesn't shun or take advantage of the weak. We see a man, the God-man, and he is full of compassion. Beloved, this perfect man, this perfect example of what a real man looks like, our Jesus is characterized by tenderness. There is no harshness. There is no bitterness. There is no brutality in our Savior. Here, this poor man's need draws forth the very heart of Jesus Christ. Beloved, we as sinners, we make no demands of Christ. We issue no commands. We don't run around and say, in the name of Jesus, I cast you out. In the name of Jesus, give me a car. In the name of Jesus, we resolve to do all these things. It's foolishness. This is the captain of our salvation, the Lord of hosts. We make no demands. We make no commands. But when we come to him hurting, when we come to him broken, when we come to him with our needs, when we come to him desperate and desolate, we see the very heart of Christ moved. We serve a compassionate God. And so if we would come casting off dishonesty, casting off our dissent, casting off our pride, with our faces in the dust, beloved, the Savior's heart is the same today as it was in Galilee. And he is moved by the degree of our need. When you need him to walk with you, he will walk with you. When you need him to carry you, he will carry you. He meets you not halfway. He doesn't say, here I am, get over here. He calls out to us. We cry out, and our Savior comes to us. Beloved, we serve a compassionate God. Once again, Christ responds not the way that the crowd has responded. Remember the leper. He cries out, unclean. For every step he takes, people take 10 steps back. The crowd, as the Red Sea, they part. But not our Jesus. The word literally in the Greek says he felt something in his bowels, deep down in the pit of his being, deep down within the Lord Jesus Christ. He felt for this man. He felt compassion. Men, if you want to see what manhood looks like, it sees the weak. It sees the broken. It sees the hurting and the needy. And it is filled with compassion. This is masculinity. This is manhood. It is compassionate. And so this man felt his way. And Christ felt his way into this man's heart. Christ connected with this man at the deepest level. Compassion, love, pity. And notice what he does. Moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand. Rather than pulling back like everyone else had done, rather than going in the other direction, as everyone else had done, no one had ever stretched out their hand to a leper. No one has ever done this to this man. Once again, for every step he takes forward, for every step he takes towards another human being, for every step forward, people step back. This man's entire existence has been one of shun, repulsion. People run from him. People flee from his presence. This man throws himself upon the ground before the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "If you are willing, make me clean." And Christ does not run. He doesn't say, "Get out of here." He doesn't say, "Don't you know the Levitical law? If I touch you, I'm unclean. Don't you know who you are?" Christ stretches out his hand. The healing balm of Gilead stretches out his hand. Jesus was not repelled. Jesus was not repulsed. The heart and will of Christ was drawn to this loathsome leper. And notice what Jesus does. He stretched out his hand and he touched him. You and I, we read over that and it's like, okay, he reached out. You know, I shook hands with Mr. Jerry earlier. I patted somebody else on the back. What's the big deal? We touch all the time, right? Jesus does the unthinkable here. Jesus touched the leper. Beloved, he could have merely spoken the word and said, "Be cleansed." Jesus intentionally, purposefully, personally, to convey what was welling up in his heart, he reached out, he stretched out his hand, and he touched this man. Beloved, it's not a superficial contact. Literally, this word means Jesus gripped him. Christ took him by the hand. He takes hold of him. And it's very clear in Mark's gospel that our Lord delights in touching his people. He delights in contact with his people. As we see this, Christ in the Gospel of Mark, we have no less than 8 different recordings of Christ touching people. In chapter 1, Christ took Peter's mother-in-law by the hand. He takes her, he touches her hand and helps her up. When Jesus touched the leper, in chapter 5, when he goes and heals Jairus' little daughter, he's going to take her by the hand and say, "Get up." He's going to lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them in chapter 6. And even in the midst of his extremely busy ministry, chapters 9 and 10, he repeatedly takes the little children up into his arms and blesses them. We see our Lord embracing, touching people. Beloved, the fact is, this man, who is full of leprosy, we can assume that he had not been touched by a soft, healthy hand for years. If he had a wife, he had not known her touch. If he had any children, he had not held them in his arms. If he had any family around him, there are no hugs, no kisses, no embraces, no holding hands, no touching. Not once. Imagine being a leper and simply longing for human contact. For just one person not to run the other direction. For one person not to look at you, to point a finger, say he's unclean and run in the other direction. Imagine longing for human contact. Longing to be touched. And Christ stretches out his hand and touches this man. Imagine the amazement and shock of the crowd as they're around. I'm sure some were thinking, well, Christ is probably going to contract a disease. That's one of the reasons you don't touch a leper, because of the disease. But also, once again, you remember Leviticus chapter 22. If someone touches a leper, then they are unclean. They are now ceremonially unclean, and they cannot come into the presence of God. Specifically, the Levites. Say to them, whoever of all your descendants throughout your generations, whoever goes near the holy things which the children of Israel dedicate unto the Lord, while he has uncleanness upon him, that person shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. Whatever man of the descendants of Aaron who is a leper or who has a discharge shall not eat the holy offerings until he is clean. And whoever touches anything made unclean by corpse or man who has had an emission of semen, whoever touches any creeping thing by which may be unclean, or any person by whom he would be made unclean, whatever his uncleanliness may be, that person is unclean. Can you imagine the excitement of seeing this? The crowd standing in awe. And beloved, aren't you excited that our Christ is not a priest after the order of Aaron? Our Christ is not one who would be defiled. Our Christ is the Holy One. Our Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek. Our Christ is the King of Righteousness, the Prince of Peace, and He will not be unclean. What He touches, He makes clean. Doesn't this amaze you? Beloved, and not even that. That's not so much the wonder and awe of this passage. Here's the wonder and awe. That after Christ touches a leper, after Christ cleanses and restores a leper, He now abides with lepers. Do you understand that? The Holy One of God, the priest according to the order of Melchizedek, He has done more than simply touch you. He has done more than simply cleanse you. He now abides within you through His Spirit. The Holy One of God has taken residence within your soul. Beloved, this is a glorious truth. This is a glorious picture that we see here. But notice at the end of verse 41 how He cleanses the leper. I am willing, be cleansed. You need to know, when Christ says, I am willing, that this is in the present tense. It's not something future. It's something that's happening right now. Christ is saying, I am willing today. I am always willing. I am forever willing. Today, I am willing to cleanse you. As we heard the message this morning, we serve a Christ that waits for people to come to Him to be cleansed. And beloved, why is the church suffering? Because most of us don't know we're sick. Most of us don't know we're lepers. And so we never come. We never come and receive that healing. That if we would just come, Christ this very day is willing to reach out, to stretch out His hand and cleanse those who are diseased. Christ says, I am willing. Today, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of restoration. Today is the day of healing. Be cleansed. And then we see a shift in the tense. This verb communicates a definitive, specific point in time. You are cleansed. Beloved, we serve an amazing Christ. Jesus commands this man to be cleansed, and in doing so, He commands the disease of leprosy be gone. Just as Christ commands the demons, they are cast out. Just as Jesus commands the storm to cease and the waves are gone, so the sovereign authority of Jesus Christ is exercised right here. When the Holy One of God, When the Lion of the tribe of Judah, when the great I Am says something, when He commands, it comes to pass. This is what Pastor Heibel was talking about this morning. If you would just come, but to not come. As Van Til says, to not come, to think that you have a better way, is to slap the Holy God of the universe in the face. What sin do you have that is so great that the blood of Christ is not sufficient? What sin do you have that is so little that did not send the Son of God to the cross? Beloved, if we would just come, He would say, you are cleansed. And so, immediately, instantly, suddenly, the leprosy is gone. Immediately, he is healed. In a split second, the Lord's cure, the Lord's healing is whole, it's full, it's instant. And beloved, this is how quickly you and I can be saved today. There's no process. There's no, I'll get around to it. For you young folks, there's no promise of tomorrow. There's no promise when I hit 30 or 40 or 50, then I'll get right with God. There is no promise. Life is a vapor. You're here today and gone tomorrow. There is no promise. Today is the day of salvation. If you would just come today, this is the call. This is the call of the gospel. Christ is willing today to heal, to restore, to make whole. And so, beloved, I ask you, has the Master touched you? Has He extended His gracious hand towards you? I'm not asking if you're baptized. I'm not asking if you gave a credible profession and you're a communicant member. I'm not asking who your mama is or who your daddy is. I'm not asking if you're an officer in the church. I'm asking you, if you have recognized yourself as a spiritual leper, someone full of disease, someone cut off and deserving to be cast out of the presence of the holy and living God, someone who has recognized they are unclean and undeserving of God's goodness, and someone who has recognized that this Jesus and Him alone can cleanse me. That's what I'm asking you. Christ, we serve an amazing Savior. And beloved, when we're cleansed, we are immediately transformed from death into life. The bonds and shackles of sin are gone. The sting of death is gone. Life comes. In the Old Testament, the Lord says to us, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be white as wool. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the healing touch of Jesus Christ brings salvation, if we would just come. Secondly, we see Christ's command, 43 through 45. And He strictly warned him and sent him away at once. What a shift we see here in emotions. We see this amazing healing and restoration. We see Christ going from this compassion and tender touch to now sternly admonishing this man who has been healed. And it's interesting, this word denotes a very strong tone, almost a rebuke. It's a powerful warning to this man. Immediately, Christ sends him away and says, say nothing to no one. And yes, this is the same Jesus. The same Jesus that's going to tell us later
to shout it from the rooftops. The same Lord who's going to tell us to go into the highways and byways, the hedges, and compel them to come in. The same Christ who is going to say, go into all the nations and make disciples in my name. The same Lord who is going to say, proclaim repentance in my name to all the nations. He says this to the leper that he just healed. He says, say nothing to no one. Well, why? Why? Well, first of all, I think we must acknowledge that, first of all, this is Christ, and it's a lawful command. Calvin says on this, I do acknowledge that to have suppressed this miracle would have been improper. But our Lord had a particular reason for wishing that the report of it should not immediately spread, at least not by the leper. The leper was so far from deserving praise for the disorderly exhibition of his disregard that he ought, in my opinion, to be condemned for not obeying Christ's injunction. If he wished to express his gratitude to the one that cleansed him, the one to whom he is indebted for his cure, no better method could be found than simple obedience. Christ says, say nothing to no one. What more could you do than just obey? Trust and obey. 1 Samuel 15:25. Obedience, which God prefers to all sacrifice. And I think we can glean a lot of wisdom from this example. There's a lesson, I think, that Christ is setting forth here. If the leper goes out and tells the people that the ministry of Christ is simply about healing, simply about receiving a temporal healing, a temporal blessing, then the main ministry and focus of Christ is in danger of becoming nothing more than signs and miracles. Beloved, a healing ministry, and you see them on TBN all the time, it's nothing more than a sideshow. Jesus Christ is teaching us here that he does not want to be known merely as a healer. He does not have a healing ministry. God had one son, one only begotten son, and when he sends him to proclaim liberty to the captives, to preach the good news that the gospel has come, the kingdom of God is at here. When he comes preaching repentance. When he comes preaching and proclaiming the word of God. Christ has come to preach the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And if the leper goes out, then the primary mission for which Christ came is going to be hindered. It's not going to fail, but it is going to be hindered. But also, consider how even here, even at this point, Christ is not seeking his own glory. Christ is keeping the law. Calvin says, as the ceremonies of the law had not yet been repealed, Christ did not wish that they would be despised nor neglected. How many folks today, in Christ I'm free, I don't have to worry about the law. Christ did the law, I don't have to worry about it, I can do what I want. Christ does not wish that the law is despised or neglected. Christ does not even seek his own glory here. Go and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded. Beloved, we see that people, if we have this type of ministry, and you see it all the time in the church, someone gets saved. I want to be a minister. I want to run off to seminary. I want to be a preacher. Someone walks in the door, they've been here for 5 minutes. I want to teach Sunday school. Can I start a ministry doing this or this or this or this or this or that? Beloved, if we have that kind of perspective and we don't heed the warning right here, this leper was cleansed. And yet Christ said, go, offer the sacrifice. How many people do we know that receive the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ and yet have nothing to do with His church? Have nothing to do with His law? Have nothing to do with His people? People will come to church and ultimately to Christ for all the wrong reasons if this leper goes out. Notice what happens at the end in verse 45. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every direction. He went out and began to proclaim it freely to spread the news around in direct disobedience to the Lord. No doubt there was an excitement. No doubt he was excited and on fire for the Lord. No doubt that he was very zealous for Jesus Christ. But as R.C. Sproul says, enthusiasm, zeal, sincerity, eventually they will give way. Christ did not come to get you fired up. Christ did not come to get you excited. Christ came to conform you to His image. And that in the ministry of the church exists and happens and is propagated through the means of grace. So often we see in our midst, in the church, people that receive the cleansing, just like I did, and yet the last place they end up is the church of Jesus Christ. We run out. We begin to proclaim it freely. I was just like Ray when I became a Christian. Jumped on the preaching circuit. Everybody wants to see somebody who just got saved. Somebody who's excited, who's zealous, who really does believe they're a sinner and they're saved by grace. And yet how often is the church of Jesus Christ robbed? Robbed. Because we don't see that in our midst. I heard somebody on Caleb the other day. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up, my family did devotions every day. I went to a Christian school. My parents took me to church every Sunday. But it wasn't until I heard this song on your radio show that I really got saved. Now, I'm not doubting the sincerity of her profession. But what I am saying is, do you not believe that God used your parents, your church, your school, all of these things to bring you to faith in Christ? It was this one lyric from this one song. I must have missed that in the New Testament. You know, Paul did not get a choir together and go around singing to churches. Paul went and preached, proclaimed, administered the means of grace. Beloved, this is how the ministry of the gospel goes forward. One theologian said, hence we learn the reason why Christ did not wish the miracle to be so soon made known. It was that he might have more abundant opportunity and freedom for preaching and teaching. Not that his enemies rose up against him. Not that his enemies rose up and attempted to even shut his mouth. But because the common people were so eager to demand miracles, give us a sign, that there was no room left for doctrine. No room left for teaching. No room left for preaching. We love ministries when they're exciting. We love ministries when we get to go over to Africa or we get to go all these places around the world. We like that. But what about the pure preaching and teaching of the Word? Is that not enough? Family devotions, catechetical training, Sunday school, Wednesday night. Are these not enough? Are these ordinary means of grace not sufficient? And yet we see what happens. We see what happens. Those who love Christ, who sincerely love Him, beloved, the people that I ran with in the campus ministry, they love Christ. But they hinder His ministry. There's so many future officers in the church that'll never step foot in the church. They love Christ. They have a zeal, but there's no knowledge, and we are the worse off for it. So people are going to be waiting at the gates of the city now for all the wrong reasons, caring not about their souls, only wanting a temporary band-aid, just a physical healing, without attending to the real business for which Christ came. Remember, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Beloved, would we look and be reminded of the compassion of Christ, but would we also be reminded of the commands of Christ? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and mercy. And Lord, we do pray for those who, Lord, just don't have a love for your church. Pray that they would come in. Pray that they would see their Lord and Savior. This is where his blessing is. This is where his presence is. This is where his means of grace reside. This is where the promises are. And God, would they come? Would we reach out to them in humility and love? Father, we pray that we would, with fresh eyes, see our compassionate Savior and how he loves us and how he desires even this day to heal, to cleanse the souls of those who would come, those who would come casting themselves at his feet and crying out, "I am unclean." God, we love you. We thank you for this Jesus, and we ask all this in his name. Amen.